Oh, praise the Lord, everyone. So we got a few folks coming in. We'll let them get seated. All right. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Another beautiful day. I can't think of a better way to spend a morning but to praise and worship God and to sing unto Him, to give Him our hearts, and then to study His Word. But before we begin this morning, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will be done, asking that Thy Spirit would flow, asking that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, as we seek Thy face, as we seek Thy glory, as we reach out to Thee and worship Thee and give Thee our hearts. We pray that Thy presence would truly be here. Let us feel Thy presence this morning, we pray. We ask, O God, that Thou would be with us every step of the way. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing some songs, and we are going to start in the hymnal this morning, the Melodies of Praise hymnal, number 1, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Thing to be able to worship our Savior. Glory to God. And I am standing on His promises this morning. There are many great and precious promises. Why don't we go to number 30 right now and sing Standing on the Promises. Standing Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. The Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Praise the Lord. And you know, one of those promises you can find in the 14th chapter of John, the promise of the Comforter. Amen. Let's go to number 56 and sing that song, The Comforter Has Come. Thank you. the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and the dreaded wail and fury of the blast, as o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love behind, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, child of hell, should in his image shine, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God. And because we have that Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, we also have victory. Victory over sin, death, and hell, and victory over this world. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 252 and sing that song, Victory. Hallelujah, what a thought Jesus' full salvation brought. Victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail, heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, victory. Victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. I am trusting in the Lord. I am standing on His word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my life is free from sin. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free, Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah, He is all. In all to me, shout your freedom everywhere, His eternal peace declare. Victory, victory. Let us sing it here below, in the face of every foe. Victory, victory. God, and yes, we do have the victory today. Praise God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, could I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee for Thy mercy, for Thy grace. We thank Thee for Thy help, for we know that we are helpless without Thee. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And we ask that Thy perfect will would be done. We pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word this morning. And that is going to be number 222 in the hymnal, In the City Where the Lamb is the Light. Far beyond the starry sky, there's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. 'Tis the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun that shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and I can't wait to get there. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, that's one of those songs that's very catchy, and sometimes it'll get stuck in your head, but I can't think of a better song to get stuck in your head. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it is time to get started in the Word. And I'm sure that since we finished the book of Luke last week, most of you are wondering what we're going to do now. Well, today I'm going to preach a message, and I'm calling this message this morning, Spiritual Blindness. We're going to be starting to begin with in Matthew chapter 15 this morning, but before I read even one verse, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this morning, seeking Thy guidance, asking that Thy perfect will be done, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst move upon us by Thy Word, by Thy Spirit. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst change us, perfect us, fill us with Thy Spirit. O Lord, we ask for a mighty work of Thy Spirit here this morning. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us the ears we need to hear, the eyes we need to see, the hearts we need to perceive and understand Thy Scriptures, Lord. For we know that it is only by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we can understand Thy Word at all. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service this morning. Inspire us, O God. Move upon us, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we live in an interesting period of time. And there are a lot of people out there who are floundering around. They're lost. And sometimes people will do very strange things. You know, I was reading the news the other day and I came across a story, and I have to say it's one of the saddest things I've ever read. And I guess I will just read this article now because it provides some context to the message we're about to go through, Spiritual Blindness. But this story, it's very sad. The headline for this article is, Woman, Desperate to be Blind, Poor Drain Cleaner in Eyes, Now Happier Than Ever. She claims to be happier than ever, but this is a very, very strange and sad story. In this story, it says, a North Carolina woman says she is happier than ever after fulfilling her lifelong wish of becoming blind. Jewel Shooping, 30, has body integrity identity disorder, which is a condition where able-bodied people believe they are meant to be disabled. Shooping said that her fascination with blindness began when she was about 6 years old. By the time I was six, I remember that thinking about being blind made me feel comfortable, she said. As a teen, Shooping said, she began wearing thick black sunglasses and walking with a cane. By the age of 20, she was even fluent in Braille. I was blind simming, which is pretending to be blind, but the idea kept coming up in my head. And by the time I was 21, it was a non-stop alarm that was going off, she said. In 2006, Shooping found a psychologist who was willing to help her become blind. The psychologist began putting numbing drops in her eyes, followed by a couple of drops of drain cleaner. And I think that that psychologist should be arrested, thrown in jail. That's horrible. But it's so sad. Describing this event, she said, it hurt. Let me tell you, my eyes were screaming. And I had some drain cleaner going down my cheek, burning my skin. But all I could think was, I am going blind. It is going to be okay. It took about a year for the damage to take effect. When I woke up the following day, I was joyful until I turned onto my back and opened my eyes. I was so enraged when I saw the TV screen. Eventually, one of her eyes had to be removed and the other had glaucoma and cataracts. At first, Shooping told her family that it was all an accident, but they eventually found out the truth. Shooping's mother and sister are no longer speaking to her. She told Barcroft TV that she has no regrets and hopes to help other blind people live an independent life. I really feel this is the way I was supposed to be born. that I should have been blind from birth, Shuping said. When there's nobody around you who feels the same way, you start to think that you're crazy. But I don't think I'm crazy. I just have a disorder. And you know, that is so sad. You might ask, what would possess a woman to do something like that? And I used that word intentionally, possess, because to do something like that, so destructive, where you want to be blind, it's a constant desire that she had, thinking about it constantly, wanting nothing else but to just be blind. You know what would cause somebody to do something like that? Well, that would be an evil spirit, wouldn't it? A demon. And you know, people read that story and they think, well, that's very sad that she did that. That's so sad. Here she could see and she intentionally went blind. And they say, well, she's got a mental disorder. But I tell you what, a lot of times when people have mental disorders, those are caused by evil spirits. And sometimes people will think about things. There will be things in their mind that they go over constantly, desiring, and they think that they came up with it by themselves. But actually, it's a devil masquerading as their own thoughts. And that happens a lot, and that's one of the things that causes such destructive behavior. That's one of the reasons people will go out and get all these weird, gruesome, grotesque piercings and things like that, things of that nature, why they will do such destructive things. But this woman, she wanted to be blind. She wanted nothing more than to be blind. And you know, there are a lot of people out there who are spiritually blind, and they prefer it that way. They prefer to be blind. And we're going to look at that topic today, spiritual blindness, starting in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 tells us, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Oh, horrors of horrors, at least it seemed that way to the Pharisees. You see, they used to ritualistically wash their hands before they would eat. And you know, it's good to wash your hands before you eat. It prevents germs from being spread and so forth, but this was part of their religion, part of their ritual, and it was a useless thing, but they thought it was important. They had all of these rituals. They had rituals, and they had things they would do, but these Pharisees were actually blind, as we will see reading in this chapter as we continue on. But here we see they're greatly concerned that Jesus and his disciples aren't washing their hands ritualistically before they eat. Verse 3, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And what Jesus is referencing here, you know, God's way, back in the day, there was no social security for people. God's way that he ordained, the way it's supposed to be, is that when children are young, their parents take care of the children, and when their parents are old, the children take care of their parents. That's the way God intended it to be. But that there was a book, well, there still is a book that the Jews had called the Talmud, and that book was full of a lot of loopholes that they would use to get out of doing the things they were supposed to do. And one of the things they would do if they had some money, they could say that they're dedicating that money to God, and then they would still be able to spend it, but they couldn't give it to anybody. And so they would tell their parents, "Look, we're sorry, we can't help you. This money has been dedicated to God, therefore we can't give you this money," even though they might need it. And Jesus is telling them that they have made the commandment of God of none effect by their tradition. And that's one of the things tradition will do sometimes if they're bad traditions. And there are a lot of bad traditions out there. But they had their rituals, they had their tradition, and they also had their spiritual blindness. Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do people do that today? Oh yes, all the time, don't they? You see, people, they may say they're a Christian. They may say they love Jesus even, and they'll honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. They don't really mean what they're saying. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Did you know that it's possible to worship God in vain? In the book of John, it tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a specific way that he must be worshipped. And you know, a lot of times people will say, I'll worship God in my own way. Well, that doesn't work. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you don't worship God in spirit and in truth, that worship is vain. And you know, they would go through the motions of worship. They would go through the rituals of worship. But that was completely vain. And they didn't even know that it was vain. They thought they were doing something good, but they were blind. And we will see that as we continue on. Verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Well, there goes any dietary codes that people might try to enforce. You know, if you prefer to eat certain diets, that's fine, but it has no bearing whatsoever on your salvation. Okay. People aren't going to go to hell because they ate some bacon. Some people actually believe that. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So after he got done speaking, his disciples came to Jesus and they said, you know, the Pharisees, they were offended by what you said. But, you know, sometimes offenses are necessary, aren't they? The scriptures tell us that too. And Jesus, he didn't seem particularly concerned that they were offended. He wasn't going to go apologize to them for telling the truth. And you should never apologize for telling the truth. But they went to Jesus and they told him, those Pharisees, they were offended. Verse 13 tells us, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And obviously here he wasn't talking about physical blindness. They could see with their physical eyes, but they were spiritually blind. And that is what Jesus was talking about right here. Blind leaders of the blind. Not only were they blind, but they weren't helping other people who were following after them to see either. They were leading them blindly. And when the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch, don't they? Verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. See, even his disciples didn't quite understand this parable. You know, they were caught up in a lot of that dietary stuff also. You can read about that in the book of Acts, that vision that Peter had where he was shown the unclean beasts. And he, you know, at first he said, you know, I can't eat those. Those are unclean. So he had to be shown that multiple times, and then he finally realized that which God hath cleansed is not unclean. We remember that from the book of Acts, which we studied last year. But yes, even Peter, he might have had some struggles comprehending what Jesus was saying too. But verse 16 tells us, and Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in a draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. You know, if you ever wonder what a person's heart may be like, just listen to the way they talk. And you know, there are people out there who have filthy hearts. And a lot of them are the young people. That was the case even years and years ago when I was 15 years old. I had a paper out, and it just so happened that my paper out was very close to a school, so I would be out there delivering papers while the kids would be walking home from school. And let me tell you, they were young kids. This wasn't even a high school, although I guess the high school was nearby too. But you would hear some of the filthiest things coming out of the mouths of these young kids. And you know, you see that a lot with people. They say horrible things. Just even going to Walmart, sometimes you overhear things and you think, wow. How can people talk like that? But they do it, don't they? And that's because they have filthy hearts. Yeah. You know, there are some things that you should never say. And we should be careful what we say, because what we say, what comes out of our mouths, does matter.
That's right.
Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So we see here Jesus drawing attention to what's really important. What really will defile a man? What really needs to be washed away? You don't need to wash your hands to be clean. Your soul needs to be washed. The blood of the Lamb, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But those Pharisees, they were blind and they couldn't see the truth right in front of them. We're going to go now to John chapter 9. And we're going to read again about blindness, both in the physical sense and the spiritual sense. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it tells us, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, a lot of people seem to believe that if something is physically wrong with you, you must have committed some evil deed, some sin, or your parents must have committed some sin. And that's why you have a physical problem. That's why you have a health issue. You know, sometimes that can happen, but that's not always the case. This man wasn't blind because of any sin he had, and he wasn't blind because of any sin that his parents had. So, people sometimes, they'll say very unkind things. But we see here, Jesus corrects them. In verse 3 it tells us, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that light of the world was about to cure this man of his blindness. That man was about to be healed. And far more important, he would also gain his sight in a spiritual sense. And we're going to see that as we continue on in this chapter. You see, it's only Jesus who can cure us of spiritual blindness.
Amen.
It is only Jesus who can do that, because he is the light of the world. And if you don't have that light, there is darkness. And how great is that darkness?
Amen.
But we need that light of the world to purify our hearts and our minds and to cleanse us of this spiritual blindness, to heal us of this spiritual blindness. Yes, this man, he would be healed in the physical sense, but he would also be given his spiritual sight. And this is very exciting. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful miracle.
Amen.
This man had been blind from birth. And you know what? He was completely healed and restored. And that's a very humbling way to be healed. Jesus took spittle, made clay, and anointed the eyes of this man. You know, people generally regard being spat upon as a horrible thing. But I tell you what, even the spit of Jesus is wonderful. Even his spittle. Praise the Lord. So this man, he was instructed to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did that, he came away seeing. And of course, when the Pharisees heard about this, instead of rejoicing that this man had been healed miraculously, they were more concerned because it was the Sabbath. And you know, Jesus, he often healed on the Sabbath, and I believe he did that on purpose. We're going to see what happens now. In verse 8, it tells us, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he." At first, people didn't know what to think. They thought, well, isn't this the blind guy? We know him as the blind guy. He's been blind from birth. He's always been blind for as long as we've known him. How could he possibly see? So some people, they said, well, it's not him. It must be a guy who looks like him. You know, uncanny resemblance. But he told them, no, it's me. I am he. Verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not." You know, this man had never met Jesus before. That's the first time he ever encountered Jesus, and that was a miraculous encounter for sure. You know, you have to greatly rejoice when something like that happens. And I'm sure this man was greatly rejoicing. But he's being questioned, interrogated, almost as if some crime had been committed, you know. He was healed of his blindness. So he's saying, I don't know where Jesus is right now, but Jesus would come to him again later. Verse 13 tells us, "Then they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God. Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So the Pharisees, their first reaction was, after this great miracle was done, well, this man is not of God. They couldn't be further from the truth in their statement, because yes, that man was of God. In fact, the very Spirit of God was dwelling inside him. God robed in flesh. The Messiah that they had longed for, searched for, waited for, he was there, standing in front of them, right in front of them, and they couldn't see him. Why? Because they were blind. But see, this miracle had been done, and they were more concerned about the fact that it had been done on the Sabbath day. They were more concerned about their rituals and traditions. But you know, honoring the Sabbath day, remembering the Sabbath day, it was never about not doing good on the Sabbath day. It was about resting from works. And I believe that one of the reasons God instituted the Sabbath day in the Old Testament was so that there would be at least one day every week where those people would not sin. And we know now that we rest each and every day from our old works, from our old sins. People sometimes ask, well, what day of the week do you honor as the Sabbath? What day of the week is that? You know, it's testing you. And when people ask that, my answer is all the same. My Sabbath days are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Why keep just one day holy when you can keep them all holy? Praise the Lord. But they were upset about this. They were concerned because Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath day. They couldn't see what was truly important. Verse 17, "They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet." And of course that was true. Jesus was a prophet, but he was so much more than that. He wasn't just a prophet. Of course, even the Muslims say that he was a prophet, but there again, he is much more than a prophet. And this man was about to learn that very thing. Verse 18, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind." They refused to believe that this man was ever blind, those who didn't know him. and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they're saying, don't ask us, just ask him. He's a grown up. He's an adult. Ask him what happened. See, they were afraid. They were answering very carefully because they were afraid to be thrown out of the synagogues. But you know, those synagogues, being thrown out of them was a wonderful thing. Sometimes you need to be thrown out of certain places. And if you go and you tell people about Jesus in certain places, they will throw you out. But that's fine. That's good. That's wonderful. And you know, after what happened to this man, I had a feeling he wasn't going back to that synagogue. But they say, they tell these Jews, these Pharisees, ask him. He's an adult. He can speak for himself. Verse 22, These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And you know, they still do that today in a lot of those synagogues. If you go there and profess that Jesus is the Christ, they will throw you out of there. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And Jesus wasn't a sinner. He never committed any sins at all. He had no sin. He's the only one who ever had no sin. And that's the reason he could take our sins upon himself, but he had no sin of his own. And what they regarded as sin was not sin at all. And the things that they did were sins, and they didn't even realize it because they were blind. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Praise the Lord. You know, we sing about that sometimes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And it is by God's grace that we can see.
Amen.
He does give us those eyes to see, spiritually so. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? So he told them, I already told you. I told you everything. I told you exactly what happened. And you didn't believe me. If I tell you again, will you be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And you know what? That wasn't even true. Because I guarantee you that if Moses had been on earth when Jesus was on earth, he would have recognized Jesus. He would have known Jesus. Verse 29, We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one that had been prophesied of, the one, in fact, who Moses had spoken of. He was there, standing right in front of them, and they couldn't see him. For who he truly was, they were spiritually blind. They didn't recognize him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, Why? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. And he had a good point there, didn't he? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You know, things were starting to click with this man.
Yes.
He was starting to understand. Earlier we read that he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, things like that, but now he's starting to realize, hey, there's something different about this Jesus. And he's starting to realize this man couldn't be a sinner. He couldn't open my eyes if he was a sinner. And he started to realize that, yes, this man is of God. Verse 31 tells us, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" This had never happened before until Jesus came along. And there were a lot of things that had never happened before until Jesus came along. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Notice he was starting to realize God was opening his eyes, his spiritual eyes. Whereas before he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Now he's saying, this man is of God. If he was not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. There again that assumption that he must have done some horrible great sin, or his parents must have done some horrible great sin that he was born blind, but that wasn't the case. Jesus already told us that that wasn't the case. But he took that man's blindness, he healed that man's blindness to teach us a wonderful lesson. And verse 35 tells us, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." So Jesus told them, "It's me. I am the Son of God." And you know, there were a lot of people, they had heard that very thing, but they didn't believe it, did they? There were people who refused to believe it, but this man, his eyes were opened. Not just his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. And when Jesus identified himself, this man believed it. He accepted it right away, nothing doubting. Just as we need to do. And if we have those spiritual eyes to see, that's exactly what we will do. You want to know how you can identify someone who cannot see spiritually? Someone who is spiritually blind? They don't know who Jesus is. That's true in every case. People who do not know who Jesus is, they are the ones who are spiritually blind. But verse 38 tells us, "And he said, Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting. The scriptures tell us that we are to only worship God. But you can read about it time and time again. People would worship Jesus and he never told them not to do it. You know why? Because Jesus is God. He was both God and man when he was here on this earth. But yes, he is God, which is why it was acceptable. In fact, it was good for people to worship him, and it is good for us to worship him. And that's something you can only see if you have spiritual eyesight. Verse 39, "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And you know, he's not talking about physical eyesight there. We know that because those Pharisees, they were standing right there. And of course, they took offense at that too. Verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" Oh yes, they were so blind that they couldn't even recognize the Messiah standing right in front of them. Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." In other words, he's telling them, yes, you are blind. But you know, there are people, a lot of people in fact, that are blind and they don't even know it. some of those people even profess to be Christians.
That's true.
But they are blind. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read a short portion of Scripture in this chapter. And of course, we know that in the book of Revelation, there was a message delivered to seven churches, seven messages for seven churches. And one of the churches was the church at Laodicea. We're going to read about that starting in the 14th verse of Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know, it's a horrible thing to be lukewarm.
Yeah.
You need to be hot and on fire for God. But we're being told here in the book of Revelation that even being ice cold is preferable to being lukewarm. And of course, that's a bad way to be too. But we are told that if you are lukewarm, you'll be spewed out of his mouth. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." They think, notice, these people, these Laodiceans, they thought everything was great. Everything was wonderful. They thought they had it all. They couldn't see any problems. They didn't even realize they were blind. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Look at that, blind, and they didn't even know it. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And where do we get that eye salve? From the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In fact, didn't he make clay for that blind man and put it on his eyes, and then he could see? And it is Jesus who opens our eyes. It is Jesus who restores our sight. But these Laodiceans, they had problems. Verse 19, "And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." See, that's the solution, isn't it? If there are things wrong in your life, repent. And then God will open your eyes. He will put that eye salve on your eyes, that you can see, that your spiritual eyes may be opened. These Laodiceans, they thought they were doing all the right things. They thought everything was wonderful. They thought they were rich and increased with goods, in need of nothing. But they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And they didn't even know it. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And he does knock on the doors of our hearts, doesn't he?
Yes, praise the Lord.
I encourage everyone to open that door.
Yes.
Let him in. Let him in.
Amen.
Your soul depends on it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We need ears to hear too, don't we? Ears to hear and eyes to see. But there are people, there are many people who are blind. They don't realize it, but they are in fact blind. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before we conclude this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. Or pardon me, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The second epistle. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, Peter, he was a different man. You can just feel the faith from these words that he wrote even so long ago. We can still feel that faith when we read these inspiring words. This is no longer that man that once denied Jesus before the cock crew. But this was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. This was a man who had his spiritual eyes opened. This was a man who could see. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And there are many great and precious promises, aren't there? Promises from the Lord Jesus, promises from God, promise of the Comforter, promises of the Holy Ghost, promises of God's Spirit dwelling inside us. Great and precious promises. And because of those promises, we can be a part of that divine nature. We can be part of that body of Christ, and we can escape the corruption in so much that we don't have to die. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. What Peter is describing here are the traits of people who can see. The traits of people whose spiritual eyes have been opened. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know how important it is to be fruitful. We are to bring forth good fruit. Jesus told us that very thing, didn't he?
Amen.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see, these people who don't display these traits, they are blind. They might even profess to be Christians, some of them, but they're blind, spiritually blind. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, if you seek the Lord, he will help you see. He will give you that ability you need to see spiritually. He will give you the gift of discernment. He will give you the Holy Ghost, his Spirit dwelling inside you. And when you have that, your spiritual eyes are open and you can see.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you're blind, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be falling, tripping and falling all over the place because you can't see. But when you can see, you know where you're going. You can see what's in front of you. And you don't fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we all want? To be a part of that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. You know, that's one of the reasons it is so important to diligently study the Scriptures. Because if you neglect to study the Word of God, you could very well lose that sight. You could very well lose your spiritual vision. And Peter, he tells us, I am writing this epistle to remind you of some very important things. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter knew there was a day coming when he would be taken from this earth, but that didn't distress him, because he had the promises of God, those great and precious promises. And he had vision, spiritual vision. He could see. He wasn't spiritually blind, as so many people are. And he knew that even though he was going to leave this earth, he would be a participant in that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In fact, they had seen a preview of the coming of God's kingdom when they were at the transfiguration. And that's what he's referencing here. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So he's recounting what happened there. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Praise the Lord. You know, that light, it did shine in a dark place when it shined in our hearts. There was a time when there was just darkness there, but that light shined in our hearts. That light from the Lord Jesus, for he is the light of the world. And when that light shined in our hearts, we were no longer blind. We can see spiritually. We can see. And it's interesting. You know, it talks about the day star there. And during certain seasons, the planet Venus, it can be seen in the sky, but only for a very short period. It's the brightest thing in the sky when you can see it. 15 times brighter than the star Sirius, but you can only see it right before the sun comes up, right before that light shines. It's almost like a little glimmer of the light that's coming. But thank God for that light. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we will be moved by the Holy Ghost when we have eyes to see, when we're not plagued by that spiritual blindness. And only Jesus Christ can give us that vision. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the sight that thou hast given us. We thank thee for opening our eyes so that we can see, so that we can discern. We thank thee for the light that thou hast shined in our hearts. We thank thee, O God, for giving us the Holy Ghost so that we may see and discern. And we pray, O God, that we would never lose sight of what is truly important. We pray that we would never lose that vision, but we ask, O God, that thy light would continue to shine in our hearts. For we know that thou art the light of the world, the light that spake even in the book of Genesis and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we know that thou canst speak that in our hearts also and shine a light in the darkness. We thank thee for thy scriptures. We ask, God, that thy light would always be upon us. Let the Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us as we go forth this day. Be with us each and every day, every step of the way. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it seems only fitting, after that message, to sing number 157 in the chorus book, Open Our Eyes, Lord. 157 in the chorus book. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.